Hey, everybody, this is John.
And Jason.
And this is Two Farts
in a Can.
Okay, we haven't been on here in about 18 days, it seems like. Now let's tell them what that means.
John, I've honestly forgotten what it means.
Okay, then I'll tell them.
No!
Okay, moving on. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. I'm your host, John Moore, along with Jason Salters. Today's episode that we're doing today is going to be called Summertime. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about summertime, old stories from Jay and I when we were growing up, summertime things we did, things we got coming up. Also talk about some old vacations we took with family as summertime rolls in and what your plans are. You can start planning and think of some of the stuff we did. Maybe you'll do it. But we're going to do all of that right after this. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. I'm your host, John Moore, and with me is Jason Salter. Today's episode is summertime. We're going to talk summertime right now. Jay, what's going on, my friend?
Not much, my brother. It's been 18 days. I kind of missed you like that weird wart on my ass that I can't see, but I'm glad to be back.
Well, now that I can hear you extremely well, you've got the you're at world headquarters. I'm at an undisclosed location once again, which might be my kitchen if you look at my wife's art in the background. I figured that looks like summer, doesn't it? Maybe just a little bit look like summer.
Poppies. It's the poppies.
So listen, let's set this up, what we're going to talk about. So you and I started hanging out when we were 10 years old. We were in the same neighborhood, lived at each other's houses, but summer times were fun for us. We did a lot of fun stuff during the summer that you and I did, but didn't we?
Yeah, of course.
And then, but beyond what we did during that, we also had vacations with our families. You have some that you did with your families. I've got some that I did with mine. I can tell the story when Elvis Presley died, and I was in Nashville. So, well, actually, I was in South Carolina.
But wait a minute. You were in Nashville when Elvis died?
Yeah, well, I was in South Carolina, but we were at Elvis's house 2 days after he died.
How were you not investigated?
Well, I was nine, so I was skinny, and I couldn't drive. So that we'll get into that. Plus, we'll talk about some of our most recent vacations you've taken with your lovely spouse there, Jill, and mine with Kathy, and some of the neat things that we've gotten to do. Maybe ideas for some people that are looking for fun things to do. Because, guys, it's June. Summertime's here. Coronavirus be damned. And we're going to do all of that in just a little bit. Right now, Jay, why don't you promote the website and tell people where they can listen to us, find us, all of that fun stuff.
You can watch our podcast on basically any place that you watch podcasts. You can go to Anchor. You can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Basically, any place that plays podcasts, you can just type our name in the search bar and do the number two, not the word, Two Farts in a Can. You can find us on Twitter, at Two Farts in a Can. You can go to our website, www.twofartsinacan.com. And most of you right now are watching us live on our Facebook page, which is Two Farts in a Can, the podcast group. We also have the Two Farts in a Can business page, which everybody is linked to automatically, whether you fucking liked it or not. I just looped you in there. And outside of that, you're gonna get drawn in no matter what. I will come and find you because I now have pictures of all of you idiots throwing up deuces and all that type of shit.
And hey, we are going to have let's do feedback. Speaking of feedback, we got to start talking about the pictures started going out.
Sure.
So, any of them particular you like that they started getting out? Let me say this to you guys real quick before we get into it. There is more that had to get ordered. They're at my office. And for some of y'all that haven't gotten them yet, don't give up. They're about to get sent out. It'll probably be next week. Before I can get them out, but they are there, they're signed and ready to go. And then that's for the first round now. That's that first picture. But the new prize that's going to be coming out, we're probably a few weeks away from that. But you guys that all got your picture and that did that, you've got another special prize coming. I think this is pretty genius. We've got to give Jake credit on this one, don't we? He came up with this idea.
Yeah, I used to think just the asshole gene in my family just ran through me. Now, it bled into him as well. It's so funny because I'm sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee one morning, and he's like, what are you doing? Because I got these pictures out in there, literally laid out all over the – took up the entire countertop. Dude, when I tell you, and I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but when John and I started this, hey, let's do this promotion. We thought, you know, five or six people, you know, not a lot of people would tune in and want to be a part of it. By the time we got done, we were at 47, 48 pictures. So, I had to sign them all at the same time. So Jake comes in and I'm drinking coffee. He goes, what are you doing? And I told him, and he goes, I've got the greatest follow-up in the world. And
don't tell him.
I'm not. But when you see it, oh my God. So if you're pissed off when it shows up, I'm going to need you to call 770-221 and tell him he's an asshole just like his dad.
But it's hysterical. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody's asking us for our autographs. You have for those of you that participated, you have a signed autographed picture of Jason and me. Let that sink in for just a second. If you've got it framed in your house, you are in the Two Farts in a Can Hall of Fame already. You don't even have to pass a panel.
God, you'll love this. Hold on. This will be – well, I don't know if I can do it or not. I actually have it framed in my house.
Well, <it's> a- hey, Jason and I aren't even in the Hall of Fame of Two Farts in a Can yet, but you will be if it's framed and in your house and you'll take a picture of it.
Yeah, so if you got taken by it, so did I. I'm going to office. Who gives a shit? Oh, my God.
You've got an expensive frame. I couldn't convince my wife to give me $10 for a frame when I got, you know, on mine. Mine's in my bedroom. In fact, it's in the closet.
The only thing that's ever been in that frame was a picture of me and both of my ex-wives. And so Joe was more than happy to let me put a picture of you and I in there.
Holy jeez. Okay, so all right, so that's what's coming. So y'all and any other feedback you've gotten that you've seen recently?
I've gotten several. I mean, and really it's basically the same theme, you know. Everybody's really happy that we're doing some stupid shit, and it's really a lot of the feedback I've gotten is, you know, COVID and the world today has been so depressing. I mean, literally if you turn on the TV inside of 15 or 20 minutes, you know, you just kind of want to check out because it's so depressing. But a lot of the feedback I've gotten is, I know you guys are idiots and I know you're just having a good time and this is really just a pump for your ego, but I want to thank you so much for giving us a little break in the action and giving us something to look forward to. Patty McGinty chimed in last week, actually I think it was a couple days ago, and said, you know what, I haven't had a great laugh in a couple of weeks. Please tell me you guys are going to do this again. And we planned on doing it again. I mean, life just happened. Life is opening back up again. And COVID, you know, life is outweighing COVID. Whereas before it was COVID outweighed life. And, you know, so we were easily accessible at that point. But now life's kind of taken back over. So it's a little more difficult. But, you know, I was really touched by several people that reached out and said, what happened to you guys? You know, I got used to seeing you every week. And it's been about 10, 12, 15. And now it's been 18 days. So that was just really heartwarming for me.
Yeah, and I think, and I want to reiterate too, look, Jay and I could probably pump one out every day if we got paid. If this was what we did for a living and we made money doing this, we might just be live 24/7 if we could do it. But we don't. We have jobs. We have real lives. We have families. I have a new puppy who is, you know, I decided to replace old Gus and got the wife on board, and we got us a new little puppy. So we look. The goal has always and will always be to try and do one of these a week. We're going to try. it more realistically, I'm thinking every 10 days or so, we'll probably get another one out. And I'm really sorry that they're not out every week, but like we've got to get home and kids are traveling. Summertime's here, traveling for us and doing other things are going to happen. I still would like Jay and I to try to plan one where we get together and do one together, whether I come out to Florida and see you or you come into town to see the family and we'll hook up here at the house and do it.
Well, I'll be in there in December for Allie's wedding.
Oh, my sweet daughter's getting married. We'll have to do one then. We may have to do one there for sure. Well, we will do one for sure.
On the show with us. We'll pipe them in. And see if we can't embarrass the shit out of them, which I'm sure Allie's not going to be surprised. I mean, we do that pretty much most of her life. So
yes, we've given her shit for, and now you've just told me too, your daughter's buying a house. This is my goddaughter, by the way.
Yeah. So John's been here, to visit us in the house and, we're very fortunate. We live in a nice neighborhood and,
near a beach.
Oh, my daughter Morgan has, I will just tell you, we laugh about outkicking your coverage. This kid became successful in spite of her mother and I. And as hard as we tried to screw her up, she fought through it. And then so she's about to buy a beautiful home, or at least we're offering on it today, in the same neighborhood as me, literally within a 5-minute walk. I can walk there any day I want and be there in less than 5 minutes. It's kind of the everybody loves Raymond scenario, and I'm super thrilled about it.
Has she already put an offer on it?
Yeah, we put an offer in on it this afternoon. She went and saw it with her boyfriend, who she's very serious with. We saw it for the second time today, she brought him, and she's already decided. She may not wear the pants in that family, but she damn sure picks them out. So she can afford the house. She doesn't really need him, but he's a great guy. So she wants him to be involved in the decision making, and so I'm very fortunate. He's a great guy, and they're looking at that house together, and she fell in love with it. So we put an offer in today.
My goddaughter, ladies and gentlemen, that's my goddaughter, and I'm telling you right now, not only is she brilliant, I don't know how, coming from Jason. And her mother, and I'm not trashing her mother on here, but Jason is the
pick me, I will.
but she is gorgeous. I mean, beautiful. I mean, if you know, I held her when she was a week old, when I was there when I came to Florida after she was born, and here she is now. And of course, you've been around since Allie was born. Now she's a 22-year-old. It's got a get, just starting her new job, going to be a teacher. You talked about wearing the pants and doing all that. Allie is 4'11". Her fiance is 6'4".
Yeah.
And he calls her ma'am. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
And you've met them. They've come and stayed with you and swam at your pool. And
yeah, it was funny when they showed up down here, we took them to brunch down on the beach. And had a great time down there. I mean, literally waves crashing in, that type of stuff. And it's just a cool experience. So they were talking about how they were going to get around all week while they were down there. Literally, we saw them twice. They showed up here with, it was Logan and Allie, I think a couple of their friends, and we cooked burgers for them and that type of stuff. And they hung out. And then a couple of days later, we met them down at the beach. And they were like, yeah, we got to figure out how to get around. So why don't you just take my truck? I'll just give you the truck. And so Allie and I worked it out. And then when we actually got to the parking lot to give them the keys, she's standing in front and she goes, "Will it be okay if Logan drives?" And I looked at Logan and he just went, because what he meant was what Allie said. I said, "Yeah, Logan, you want to drive?" And he said, "Yes, sir. I'll take good care of it." I mean, he's just a sweetheart of a kid. But they just did you were tremendously blessed, not only with your daughter, and I commend you and Kathy and Cammy. I mean, you raised an amazing child, but she picked somebody that is perfect for her. Logan is an amazing kid, and I was so happy to host them while they were here. They were really a blessing.
During the summer, it was a summertime thing when they came.
Last summer, actually, I think.
Yeah, it was two summers ago. Yeah. But No. That's exactly true. And it's funny because Logan, I have to sometimes, they're living at our house. They were supposed to be married by now. Right. COVID pushed everything back. And so he's staying here because he's already working here and, you know, she's starting her job. And so I just said, y'all live with us. We'll go find you an apartment because Allie hadn't gotten her job yet. And so she got it. And so they're going to get an apartment here in the next couple of months. But he's around the house and I'm going, hey, man, don't take that shit from her. You know, you know, you can stand up and tell her no. You can say it right in front of me.
No, we can't.
All right. So, Jay, we got to talk about something.
All right.
All right. So we're going to tell me the world according not me, the world according to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the world according to me. So, all of us are very close friends, even if it's all digitally, but, most of you know that I can be very opinionated, especially when it comes to politics. And you know, John's a little bit more subdued and, you know, he doesn't let that infiltrate his life as much. And I wish I had that blessing in my life, but I don't. So it occupies me. And so a lot of people that I've interacted with in Facebook over the last several years have said, you need to blog or podcast. You need something to put this message out there because we really enjoy listening to it. Whether they do or not, it may be a complete lie. But at any rate, I created a podcast and thanks to John for showing me the ropes and helping me do it. That's how I got this beautiful microphone. So I'm blaming him.
No, I'm apologizing now. I have set him loose on you guys.
I did one episode and then I did a little small episode called Truth of the Week that I'm adding to it. And so like everything else I've done in my entire life, I became obsessed. And so now I'm into the production value and the lighting and all this bullshit, which is totally stupid, just so I can spout off my mouth and really drive my ego. John asked me the other day, he said, are you doing it as a podcast? I mean, that's where you make the money. And I'm like, I could give a shit about the money. I kind of just want 1,000 people to listen to it. And I could get money because of ego that I'm really feeding. But if you haven't listened to it, it's The World According to Me. I think most of you, I cross-pollinated the sites together. And the website is WA2Me. So it's The World According to Me. And you can check it out. I've got them on YouTube. I got a website and I've also got the Facebook. Same thing we're doing with Two Farts.
So when are the autograph pictures coming out?
I don't know if those are ever going
No, now you got to go like this.
Difference between Two Farts and The World According to Me is in Two Farts, I say deuces. And in The World According to Me, it's peace. But it's essentially the same thing.
I learned from listen, and I have listened to both. I've listened to both of them because, I wanted to hear what you had to say, and I enjoyed it. I told y'all politically, I'm more to the center now. I kind of go a little to the right. I used to be really far to the right. Everybody knows that about me, and I kind of backed off on that. I'm a little more open to that. Jay and I argue crap all the time and we still love each other and get along, but I listened to it. I enjoyed it. I did. It is my fault. I mean, when you called me, so Jay calls me and he goes, hey, so I want to do this thing. I'm going to call it The World According to Me. And he literally said that. And I went, oh shit.
You know, what was funny is that the first night that I launched and nobody knows me better than John, and he knows that I'm extremely anal retentive and everything in my life has to have a schedule and it has to start on time. Otherwise, I'm way out of my element. And so I got all of this stuff done. And then all of a sudden I realized that the group page that I had created was private instead of public, so nobody could share it. And it sent me into a fucking tailspin. I couldn't figure out how to get it pushed out to the rest of the world. And it just completely it disintegrated in front of my eyes. Thank God I was able to call John and say, hey, how do I do this? He's like, I don't know, man. I just figured it out. But the funniest part was Ben, and anybody that knows is Benji the Jew, and I'm not being racist, I actually refer to him as Benji the Jew for two reasons. Number one, his name is. Number two, he's Jew-ish.
Yes. Ish.
Yeah, but Benji the Jew, that's my brother from another mother. He's my East Coast John. And so
you can clear an escape room.
Oh, yeah. So what I had to do was I had to recreate the podcast group from public or from private to public so that people could do it. So I had to do that. And so when I started migrating everybody over, Ben is posting. So how many websites do you have dedicated to yourself? And the answer is three.
Well, and so, and you know what? And you should give yourself a little credit because you've done two episodes. I've listened to them. I'm the one that started podcasting and you still hadn't heard one of mine. Of course, my subject matter is nothing you're interested in.
That's true. But listen, I will tell you, and I do listen and I do read.
No, you don't.
I don't listen to all of it, but I do start to listen. And I am very interested in what John does. And God forbid, you know, I mean, I really try. Baseball's just not my thing. But I try because I want to support my brother. But I did notice that Sports Illustrated now accepts John Moore from Rangers Nation podcast as an expert. And yeah, I couldn't believe, I thought he made this shit up. But I actually went and researched, and he is listed in the Sports Illustrated online article. And I forget the date, but I'm sure John will tell us here in a second.
Yeah,
but
they did it. So what they did, yeah, they, let me tell you. Yeah. So what they did was they did a the Rangers draft was – the MLB draft was last week. So I wrote a piece about a mock draft, who I thought the Rangers were going to take, and I did my own thing on that. The writer for Sports Illustrated is Chris Halleck. And Chris Halleck went in and did a story similar. He didn't do a mock draft. What he did was he named out these certain people that they thought the Rangers might take, and then he went down and he said, here's what the experts picked. And he went down and every player, like if everyone picked this one player, he would list everybody that picked that player. And the guy I picked was a guy named Mitchell out of Garrett Mitchell out of UCLA. So it was me and another guy. I think the other guy was from could have been the Dallas Morning News or might have been Bleacher Report or something. And it was pretty funny. So, you know, I'm an expert. So I sent him an autographed picture of two farts in a can it's because I figured he'd want an autographed picture of me now that I need to get you to sign it. But, you know, we got one more deal coming up on that too. And that's our big roundtable for you that do know about the Ranger Nation podcast and that I am and you are Ranger fans, coming next week. If you'll hit me up, get me your email. We're going to do a Zoom Q&A with former Texas Rangers, Jeff Fry, Rusty Greer, and Darren Oliver. And I'm going to be the host. I'll be
And the moderator.
Like I'm going to drive the bus, and I'm going to let the fans ask the questions, and let Jeff and Darren and let Jeff and Darren and Rusty Greer answer questions because nobody cares what I have to say. Nobody does.
While I'm thinking about it, and this roundtable, you've done something like this once before, and you had all three of those guys on there before. Can you re-release that? I don't know when you're doing the roundtable, but I got to tell you, that may be one of the only ones that, and I hate to say this, but that I actually watched and got engaged in.
In the big leagues.
It was so much fun to watch because I'm watching John, who I know is a dipshit, watching these three very famous people talking to John as if they know him. And it's because they do know him. About hunting and this type of stuff. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? They're making this shit up. Well, they're not really making it up. Like, they are actually friendly with John. Like, they have a nice relationship. It's actually pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, if you want me to share their phone numbers, we can all text them together.
Send them to me.
I'm pretty sure that they would love me if I gave their phone numbers out to everybody else. Okay.
So,
do what now?
It was super cool to watch. That's one that you're like, you got to check this out. And I watched it. It was fun.
Yeah, and this one's going to be live. We didn't do the last one live. We're going to do this one live as a Zoom meeting. And I got the idea when I went as a media member, when the Rangers made their draft picks, they invited the media for a press conference on Zoom. And so we all went in to ask questions, and it was pretty cool. I mean, you could only see the people that were doing it. And there were a bunch of us, Evan Grant, anybody that listens to baseball knows Evan Grant. They know T.R. Sullivan. We were all there listed, and we could tap this button to raise our hand, and John Blake, the media relations, VP of media relations, would go, John Moore from Dallas, and I would ask my question and do that. So I thought
– You wearing underpants?
Yeah, that you can't see me from here down. I have on a thong. hey, I look good. I can carry a thong. Well, I can carry it. I can't wear it.
You can put it between your butt cheeks and not drop it.
If I put on a thong, you're going to think I'm naked.
Hey, listen, just be glad you have an ass. I got nothing but legs and hips. That's all I got. I got nothing.
I don't have an ass. And there's some that listen to this that can verify that. Okay, let's get into the summertime.
All right.
Okay, so let's get into summertime. First of all, if anybody knows where Jay and I grew up, we grew up over in the Silver Creek edition or Whispering Hills and kind of the newer one there. Who is that? Oh, that's your sister and your nieces.
Yeah, that's my sister and her husband and my nieces, all at Disney World.
All at Disney World. Now, so Jay and I, after we met each other at 9, 10 years old, and at 10 years old, we started this deal. 10 Mile Creek wasn't that far.
No, it was, less than a 5-minute walk down the street. You would come to my house, and then we'd go literally out my back door and walk down two hills, and we were at the creek.
And we would spend now you talk about different than the world is today.
Yeah.
We would leave at there were nights I remember spending the night. I remember your dad had an old army tent.
Yeah.
And we spent the night in your backyard, and we would dig up grub worms. Remember that?
Yeah, my dad had a garden in the backyard. And he would dig up grub, and he encouraged it because the grub worms were eating the plants, and so the more more we dug up, the less he had to kill.
Yep, and we would dig them up. We'd have this sack of grub worms, and we would go down to Divers Cliff, and we would walk up and down that creek. Now, we would leave at the crack of dawn, and we wouldn't come back till it was dark.
You know, and I've thought back on that. You know, when we were talking about doing the summertime edition, it was so cool because that was at a time life was much more innocent. So we were 8, 9, 10 years old. We get up in the morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock and be down there, and we'd be gone all day long. And we thought that was so cool until we realized later on in life that we were gone for 12 hours and nobody came looking for us.
No.
Like we could have been gone. We could have been abducted and they'd been like, they probably just walked up the creek and pitched a tent. We'll wait another week or so before we go look for them. Abducted. Would have been weird.
Yeah, and two people that made excursions with us every once in a while, one was Corky Naramore. A lot of y'all might remember Corky.
Is Corky a part of this podcast?
I don't know. Well, I know how to get a hold of him. We'll try to get him back in. And another one was Michael Fields would come down and meet us sometimes.
Yeah, well, Michael lived in Shenandoah.
Right. So
the creek ran between
Hey, hit your I can't hear you. Hit your thing. Yeah, you're muted for some reason.
How about now?
Yeah, there you are.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, Michael Fields lived over in Shenandoah, which ran between Silver Creek and Shenandoah. And so Michael would pop down there every once in a while and come hang out with us. And, of course, we went to school with Michael, and I don't even want to tell you what Michael's parents were doing up there. We don't even want to talk about it on live radio.
Hey, do you remember the night that we all spent the night down there?
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? It was me, you, it was Michael, I think.
Yeah, it was me, you.
I think Corky spent the night.
Corky may have been there. Is this the night that we were drinking our first beers? Like we stole two beers for 11 guys or something dumb. And we all drank about two or three sips and then acted like we were drunk the rest of the night.
You know, I can't remember that, Jay. It might have been. What I do remember was that we were going to live on the land and we caught a couple of catfish.
Live on the land.
and we cooked them and we didn't peel the skin off. We ate them.
Yeah.
We didn't peel the skin off.
Yeah.
And then we saw the water moving out there, and we had taken these frogs and thrown them out, and there were water moccasins all right there in the water.
Yeah. There's so many times throughout our childhood, John, that and probably everybody that's listening to this, that in retrospect, it's a miracle that we're not dead.
Yeah. You wouldn't let your kids do it today.
Oh, shit, no. No. If it wasn't an animal that got them, it would have been some weird psycho person, and, you know, that they would have been abducted. I mean, something bad would happen. You just can't let that happen nowadays. But it was such a much more innocent time back then.
Well, especially the spending the night. I mean, look, my kids are 13 and about to be 15, my two boys. If they wanted to go down to the creek and fish during the day, I would let them and go do what they wanted to, but I wouldn't let them spend the night.
No. We did it all the time, though.
Yeah. I mean, we
spent down there.
We put miles on bicycles. We would drive all over Duncanville. I mean, we would cross Highway 67.
Oh, yeah.
And come into Duncanville. I mean, you can't lie enough when you're saying this that our parents did not know where we were until it got dark.
No. Most of them had no idea where we were.
And I remember riding over to Byrd to meet up with, I think, right after our eighth grade year, we were going into high school, and I think we went and met Michael Martin and all of them to play football over at Byrd.
Yeah, we did it all the time. We all knew each other between Byrd and Reed. I mean, there were a lot of us that cross-pollinated together because that, I mean, literally, when you talk about people that lived on different sides of the tracks, it was literally the railroad tracks that separated the Reed kids from the Byrd kids. But there were a lot of us that, you know, we lived so close to it, and we played baseball together and football and those types of things. We just all knew one another, but that was the literal dividing line, was different sides of the tracks.
Let's be honest about what they thought. It was the train tracks that went through Duncanville that separated Byrd from the others.
That's right. We were the poor kids.
I mean, we would go to Jason's house to spend the night. You know how most of y'all would have Fruit Loops? They would have Tastios, and it would be this big trash can bag.
Yeah.
Is that what they were called? I remember you never had a box of cereal. You had a bag of cereal.
It was always something messed up. It wasn't Fruit Loops. It was Fruitios.
That's what it was.
Cheerios. It was Tasty Nuts. The hell this shit was. It was not what was ever on the commercial.
No. Oh my gosh. No. And that was good. Now, let me ask you this. So when I was a kid, my family did vacations. Your family did vacations during the summer.
Yeah.
And you've got some really fun ones. Mine, the biggest one my family probably took before mom and dad got divorced when I was a freshman in high school, we went to South Carolina, and this is the trip that I saw Elvis Presley died while we were in South Carolina, and my mother cried in the car while they were announcing it. And that was the first time that if she saw me, she would have saw the Iroh.
What, 1977?
77. I was, cause I was nine. I was going to be 10 in September.
Yeah.
And I was born in 67, and we coming back, we stopped at Graceland. And Graceland had all these people standing in flowers piled up, and we bought a newspaper for this special newspaper, and my mother threw it away a few years later, and I bet that thing would be worth.
She threw it away?
Yeah, it got lost in a move or something.
Oh, damn.
Yep, but we were there, and I've been to Graceland recently, and I couldn't tell you where the gate was we were at, because now it's like Dollywood.
Yeah, it's an amusement park now. I mean, short rides and that type of stuff, but it's a big museum, and I've been there a couple different times for corporate events and stuff. And it's not a mausoleum anymore. I mean, it's an attraction.
Well, and let me tell you this. So I was jealous. We never did anything like y'all did. Y'all would go to Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. You know, and it's no secret. I mean, John and I grew up on the other side of the track, so we didn't have a lot of money. And my dad actually went to, and those of you that are on this phone know what I'm talking about when I say this, but my dad went to South Oak Cliff High School back in the 60s. And
my dad went to Kimball.
Yeah, and your dad went to Kemble, which we all know that, you know, it's a very segregated, there's a big segregated differential at this point. But all of those kids grew up poor. Like, the only thing that changed was the color of their skin. The income was still exactly the same. And so my dad grew up in an environment where they never took family vacations and things like that. So he wanted it for him and his family. And it was about 13 or 14 before that actually came to fruition for him. And you can see the picture in the background if you're watching this live right now. That picture in the background, we had been going since two of the girls in those pictures, my sister Amanda and Robin will show up in another one, and Amy, they were babies. I mean, they were literally the sizes of the two babies you see in the Carmen's arms and Wayla's arms. And that's how long we'd been going. And some of those trips, holy crap. Like, I remember the first trip we went on, and indulge me here for a second. We left out and we were doing everything on a shoestring budget. You know, all my dad wanted to do. If you ever saw the movie Vacation.
Yes.
The Griswold Family Vacation. That was my dad. And when I tell you, we stopped at the second largest house of peanut butter and, you know, all of that stupid but, you know, as you're driving out I-20 headed towards Florida, we stopped at all of that crap. And literally he narrated as we went through it, because that was my dad, and John knows because he grew up with him. But
yeah,
if you went to do something, dad spent 6 months studying it so that he could tell you about it. And, you know, hey, don't step in that hole. This was a hole that was designed by a Civil War general. And, you know, it was all this detailed shit that nobody cared about. We just wanted to go ride the rides, but you had to tolerate that all the way to Disney World. It was the most amazing time, but I'll never forget the first trip we went on. I'm 14 years old. We pull into New Orleans and we pull in this hotel, and it was a Motel 4. Sure. But a Motel 6. Like, it was the shitty version of the Motel 6, because that's what they could afford. If we were going to stay in Disney World, we had to make sacrifices along the way. And yeah, that's how it worked. So we pull into this place, and my dad, I swear to God, I can't make this up. We're all in the car, and there's, I don't know, my four sisters, me and my three sisters and my mom and my dad. And we pull up in front of this place, and dad turns around and he goes, okay, everybody duck down. I'm 14 years old. I'm like, what do you mean duck down? And he goes, yeah, just duck down and wait till I come back.
Cause they charged you extra for however many people were there.
I'm like, all right. So we all duck down. So about 20 minutes later, I see him and he walks past. We see him through the windshield. He goes up and he walks upstairs and opens the room, and he waits about 30 minutes. Like, we're literally in this car ducked down like fucking refugees for an hour. Then he comes down and he knocks on the window, and he's ducked down. He's ducked down so we can't get caught. And he opens the door and he goes, come on. And he takes two of us, and we're squatted down, duck walking up these fucking stairs like the CIA is watching us, until we all got up to the room. So now there's like 37 of us in a one bedroom hotel room. I am sleeping on the air conditioner vent. I got a pillow and a blanket straight, and that's where I slept at every stop that we made. We made four stops, and that's where we stayed. And I'll never forget it, because my dad went out to get us dinner that night. We're in Louisiana, and he goes, well, fried chicken's got to be good. And we had never heard of Popeye's fried chicken. That's how long ago this was.
Yeah.
And they were in New Orleans. And so he goes and gets Popeye's fried chicken. And I'll tell you that the woman asked him when he ordered it, do you like the original recipe? And he was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, original recipe at KFC is original recipe. Well, original recipe for Popeye's in Louisiana is jalapeno flavored.
Yeah.
And burnt the shit out. It burnt the shit out of all. The only people that could eat it were me and my dad. Everybody else was like, I'm not eating. I'll just wait till tomorrow.
And when we're talking what it's like today, there were no continental breakfast in the morning, or if they're, you know, no. you were getting a bag of powdered donuts from the gas station that you stopped at.
Yep. And pretty much every morning after that, we slept in a McDonald's parking lot at 5 in the morning, waiting on them to open up at 6 so that my dad could go in and get, you know, two Egg McMuffins and two cups of coffee. And we split all of this shit as we were driving. We didn't get drinks because if you grew up during that time, and John and I did, and we were poor.
Drink from the hose.
Yeah, you drank from the hose. If you went to Burger King or McDonald's, at that time, they charged extra for cheese. So I'd be like, let me get a Whopper Jr. with cheese. She'd go, we have cheese at home. Because they charge you 25 cents for a piece of cheese. We have cheese at home.
You know, but I know that we went, so we did that trip out there. We would go down and go to the Alamo. Was one of the trips that we went on with the family, and we went down there and did the Alamo. We went to West Fest. Do you remember that? That's a beer fest thing they did down in wherever that was. But we had all I remember. My parents literally, we were so poor that it was such a big deal to do a vacation. My parents could have left Duncanville, drove to Grand Prairie, and got a hotel. And if it had a pool, we would have been happy.
Yeah, that was vacation, baby.
Does it have a pool?
Right. We didn't care where we were. It was different than home.
Exactly. Because you know, and I know that there were no kids in our neighborhood that had a pool.
No. And I don't know if you remember this or not. I'm sure that you do, but I know that you do because you spent half your summers at my house. My parents refused to turn the air conditioner on until mid-August.
Oh, Jay, I have nightmares about spending the night at your house. And I can remember times that I would go, dude, let's just, you know, my parents, they'll turn on the air conditioner. We could go sleep at my house.
Oh, it was insanity. They would not turn that damn air conditioner on.
They had box fans everywhere.
Yeah, had box fans everywhere. And that's how we lived. Was, you know, living through those box fans, and they would literally, we had a breezeway that was enclosed. I don't think every house in the 70s in Dallas had those, but they closed in the breezeway, but they would hang a blanket so that the air conditioning didn't go out into that area. And when I tell you your normal routine at night, because it was so goddamn hot, I don't know if you remember the early 80s and the heat wave of 1980.
Yes.
I mean, 100 degrees morning, noon, and night.
Yeah. For
I think it was the better part of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was insanity. And my dad will tell you this day, he said, I would lay down and go to bed in nothing but boxer shorts and no blankets on the bed. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would get up and I would go take the coldest shower I could and not dry off and come back to bed with the fan on me in hopes that I could sleep through the night because that was, and air conditioning was so expensive, nobody turned it on.
And I remember how bad it was when you had that dog, Laddie, this little.
With the fleas?
No, well, Laddie was the little, what is that, Yorkie.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in the living room one time, and it was so damn hot. You had a ceiling fan going in the living room, and Laddie was underneath the ceiling fan on his back with his eyes covered up.
Oh shit, it's hot.
You try to call him and go, come here, lad. He's like, fuck you, man. It is so hot, dude. I'm staying right under this fan.
Throw the cookie at me.
You know it's bad when the dog walks in and goes, yeah, somebody's gonna have to turn on a damn air conditioner or something. This is bull.
Yeah, we spent all of our summers like that. All of them. We didn't know any different.
Now, did y'all take the kids on vacations? Now that you're older, you have your own kids. What's one of the neatest vacations you did with them?
Well, you know, I mean, fortunate and unfortunate. I was the mother of my children. We've been divorced for a better part of 20 years. And they were primarily with her, and I was a weekend dad, and it's unfortunate for that. But I spent literally every weekend in Georgia with both my kids, and we went to Six Flags. And I'll never forget the first time we went. Like, they were at that age where I was like, I don't know what to do with them anymore. Like, we can't go to McDonald's because it's boring, and we can't go to Chuck E. Cheese because it's too expensive, because I was living on a budget at the time. And so what do we do? And so I figured, well, I'm going to take them to Six Flags and see, because there was a Six Flags in Georgia. And so, well, let me take them to Six Flags, and let's just kind of see how it goes. So we go there, and Jake's, I don't know, he's 6 and Morgan's 9 or 10. And so we're looking for things that they can do. And we do the kiddie rides, and you can tell they're bored as they can be. And so I go, we got to do something else. And so I find the log ride. And the log ride in Georgia is the same as it is in Florida. So you get in it and you go around and there's a big drop and it splashes water on you. It was hot in the summer. And I was like, well, let's see if they can do that. And so we get on that ride and we do it and we get wet. And I get off and go, how'd you guys like that? And they're like, oh, I loved it, Dad. It was awesome. So now they're all fired up. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I go, what do you guys want to do now? And Jake is knee high to a grasshopper. And he goes, I want to do that. And it's, I don't know what they call it. Is it the free fall in Dallas at Six Flags where they take you up, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 stories and then push you out on an edge and then drop you?
Oh, what was that thing? I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that you would, I forget what it's called. It just goes like this.
Yeah, you go up and it pushes you out and then you drop and that's it. He goes, I want to do that. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, well, Jake, I go, you may not be tall enough to do that. And he goes, well, can we go see? I mean, my son's just like me. So I'm like,
yeah,
right, well, we'll go see. So the whole time I'm like, well, you may not be tall. You may not be tall enough. So we finally get there. And sure enough, where you stand under the sign, well, he's tall enough to do it. And so the whole time Morgan is saying, my daughter is saying, we got to do this. You're going to do this, Jake. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And she's pep talking the whole way through. 2 freaking hours we stand in line for this thing. The whole time he gets nervous and she's like, you're going to love it. And we go a little further. I'm nervous. You're going to love it. This goes on and
well,
on.
Well, the closer you get, the louder it gets. I mean, you're sitting
and his anxiety is going like this. And Morgan's rising up to meet him and push him back down. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Oh, what about that? It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So we do this for 2 freaking hours. Now it's our turn. So the girl goes, okay. So we walk up and Morgan goes like this. You're going to love it, Jake. She goes, it's your turn. She goes, Dad, I don't think I can do this. What? 2.5 hours we've been alive. You're getting on this freaking ride. He's crying. I can't do it. I can't do it. So I'm like, oh, fine. So Jake looks at me and he goes, does that mean we're not doing it? I go, well, do you still want to do it? He goes, well, is it going to hurt me? I said, well, no, buddy, it's going to be fun. He said, am I going to be scared? And I said, well, yeah, but that's part of the fun. Well, I'll do it if you'll do it. I'm like, well, so the woman that was running the ride there says, I'll watch your daughter. She can stand right here next to me. And I said, okay. I said, Morgan, you stand right there and don't you move. She goes, okay. And so Jake and I get in and we pull the thing that comes up over you like this. And Morgan leans in and she goes, if you survive this, I'll do it next. But wait, it gets better. So now we're in this thing, and I'm strapped into this thing. So Jake pulls it over him, and the bar is, you know, one of these things, and it comes down. It's like right here. Like this. Like he's so small for this thing. And so we start backing up, and it clicks in, click, click, like this. And when it clicks in, he goes, Dad, I don't want to do this. Like, it's too late now, man. You better.
Yeah. Yeah. You done blew it, buddy. Sorry.
Now we're riding up. And so I remember that I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Hare that told me this. But this free fall thing, he said, if you put a quarter on your knee, when you fall, you're breaching gravity. So it'll float. So I'm like, maybe this will distract him. So we're going up. So I reach in my pocket and I get a quarter out and I go, Jake, just focus on this quarter. And he goes, what's it going to do? And I said, you just watch it. It's going to float up and it's going to float there. And you just watch it. Because by the time it's over, it's over. I mean, it literally lasts about a second and a half.
Oh, yeah. If that.
And he's holding on. I got this fucking quarter on my knee. It pushes us out on the edge and drops us. Well, we get halfway down that thing and that quarter's hovering. And we get to the bottom, it goes, shoot, and it shoots off. So you go down like this, and we're laying there. And I look over, and Jake, his fingers are dug into this padding. All I can think of is, I have traumatized my child. I'm the worst father in the world. So we're laying on our backs, right, on this thing. We're waiting to get off. And I go, dude, you okay? And he goes, "Dad, that was awesome." 7 times in a row. That's what he did. Back in line. I couldn't get him off of rides after that.
Well, did Mo end up getting on it?
Yeah, the next time he's like, "Morgan, you missed it. It was so great. You're such a weenie," whatever. And she's like, "I'm doing it this time." So then she got in it.
Jeez.
It was so much fun.
Well, for anyone that knows me and my family, you know I have a younger brother named Kevin. Well, in our infinite wisdom, Kathy and I decided to name our youngest son Kevin. I don't know who we named him after. Actually, his middle name is Daniel. And Dan is my brother-in-law. So she's got a brother and I've got a brother, and we named him, we tried Daniel Kevin or Kevin Daniel. And Kevin, my brother, who was a little more wild than I was, for those that know him and love him, when we said we were going to name him that, instead of being honored, which he was very honored, but he goes, "Are you sure you want to do that?"
Kevin's a-
Yeah, you're going to have another Kevin Moore in the world. And so I said, yeah. But my Kevin is my athlete that plays sports, and he's my athlete. And we were so worried about him because this kid was – you call – what's your nickname for him?
Crash.
Why? Because he just runs
– Every time I've ever seen this kid, he gets hurt. We're at our reunion.
Oh, yes. For a lot of y'all remember that.
I started calling him Crash before that, and we're at our reunion, and he busts his head open, and Kathy comes running out. She's like, Kevin's hurt. And I said, "What happened to Crash?" And sure, he had busted his head open. There's pictures somewhere. Somebody's got him of Kevin with his head.
You know the funniest part of that story. So we take Kevin. We were all at the Gaylord or whatever that thing was. We all had that reunion. So we take Kevin to the little first aid thing at that outdoor pool, and we get in there, and he's sitting there, and they've got the bleeding stopped, and we're going to go to care now. And he's just sitting there. And how old do you think he was?
He was 6, 5.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, this is. And so he's sitting there, and so he's bandaged. He's not a big crier. I mean, he'll cry if he's in pain, but then he stops. So he's just sitting there. He's just got this weird look on his face, and he's looking over.
I remember.
And Kat goes, "What's wrong?" And he goes, "What's wrong with that kid?" And if you turned around, it was the CPR doll. Kid was sitting there and it had the legs that were all sprawled out different ways. he thought it was a kid. What's wrong with that kid?
Too much blood loss.
So let's talk about what you're in jail. What's your and Jill's favorite vacation y'all have taken together?
Probably Key West. First year we were together, we went to Key West. It was a vacation that she had planned. She'd been there several times. And when you live in Florida, going to Key West is like going to Corpus.
Yeah. So your beach wasn't good enough?
No. We were bored with our beach. So we had money to get on a boat and go to another beach. So literally from where we live, and we're John's been here, we're like 5 minutes off the water. You go from here down to Fort Myers and you get on it's called the Key West Express, and it's a speedboat, and you get on the speedboat. And when I say a speedboat, it's not like you picture a four passenger, like this is 300 people.
Yeah.
But it's up on stilts and it goes. And you turn a 7-hour drive to Key West into 3 hours. And so you go down there, it drops you off right there at Duval Street. We rented tricycles. Which if you've ever been to Key West, you know why that's important. Cause I hate people that say, "We went to Key West, but there's nowhere to park." What the fuck are you trying to park for? Be on a bicycle. You can walk the whole island in 45 minutes.
I'm going to correct you. You said tricycle?
Yeah.
You're 50 years old.
Yeah. So they're adult tricycles. They got a basket on the back.
Okay. All right. So in other words, your knees weren't in your chin while you were trying to ride a little. Okay.
Best part, because you can put all your stuff in the back, and like I said, you can walk the whole island in 45 minutes. And so we get in there and she's like, yeah, let's get tricycles. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, I didn't climb to the top of the damn food chain to ride a fucking tricycle around Key West. And she's like, oh no, you'll love it. So we get in these, tricycles and we put the stuff at the back of them. And you go down, if you've ever been to Key West, there's one main drag and it's Duval Street. And that's where all the bars are. And at one end, you can stand on the pier and watch the sunset. And when I tell you, it's the most beautiful sunset, it's the most beautiful place to watch a sunset in the United States. It's right there. And it's marked that way. I mean, everybody that's ever been there, it's just phenomenal. But that's where it drops you off. And you ride your bike into town. And we stayed at a little bed and breakfast. And then we got up every day and we rode the island. And we went bar hopping. And that's the best part about the tricycles, because you can't tump it over. So you're driving, you're drinking and riding these tricycles, and you find a bar and you just tie it to the lamppost and you go inside and drink. And when you're done in there, they serve everything in plastic cups. So you just pick up your plastic cup, go back out, set it in your cup holder on your tricycle and ride down to the next bar. And we did that for 3 days and we had an amazing time. It's so much fun down there. We went to the Hemingway House and I just had a blast.
Well, Kat and I have done a lot of different vacations. We've done them with the kids, which are always fun, but we've had a couple that were our favorites. But I tell you one that really took us, that was really good. And we did it a couple years ago. And so we sent our boys to Illinois, where my wife's from. Mm-hmm. We sent our boys on a plane. They stayed a month in Illinois.
I've been there.
We like to go on 4th of July because their town does a neat little – remember how Duncanville used to have the big parade and used to have the carnival and all of that? Well, their little town is known for that. There you go. So we would send the boys – so we sent the boys and we took the week before – we were going to be there a week. We took the week before – and who is that?
That's Mally.
Which niece is that?
That's my niece. That's Amanda and Revis's kid.
Okay. She's a twin, right?
Paternal, yes.
Yes. They're not identical, but they're no. I was at the hospital when she was born.
Yep.
It was Pete's kid. So we went. Wow.
Yeah, she's a professional gymnast.
That's crazy, those kids that do that. So what we did, Kat and I took off driving and she had this thing mapped out. We took off driving and we went, first night we drove from Dallas to Nashville and then we stayed at, from Dallas to Nashville. We stayed in Nashville. No. We stayed in,
are you sure?
Memphis. We went to Memphis, stayed in Memphis overnight. Then we drove to Nashville, stayed there. Then we went into the mountains of West Virginia and we went whitewater rafting. We went, where you do the zip lines. We stayed in these, dude, this is one of the funniest stories. So we would stay in these national forests in these parks in West Virginia. If you've never been to West Virginia, far and away the most beautiful state might be the most beautiful state. It's a poor state because it's all coal mining. Sure. One of the most beautiful states. I mean, it's just all mountains. And
so territory, when you were with Interstate.
Yeah, I used to go there all the time. That's why we even went. And we went and saw one of my old distributors. And all that. But so we go and we're in this cabin in this park. And I mean, way up. Our drive to our cabin is a good 200 yards up this little road to our cabin. So we're in there. We've gone to bed and we're sleeping. And I'm hearing, so there's a trash can probably 14 feet from our bed. I mean, just right over here, not very far. And you can hear the trash bag, something's moving in it. And I'm like, and it's pitch dark. Kathy's sound asleep. And I'm like, there is something in that trash can. And I'm thinking there's some sort of animal has gotten in here. And it's in. So I get up and I'm tiptoeing. And I literally tiptoe within 2 feet of this thing across the room to get my phone so I can shine a light on it to see if I can figure out what it is, and it's still moving. And I'm going, oh, there's a possum over here, or there's a, you know, I don't know what this thing is, and I'm scared. So I turn the light on and I do my flashlight and I can't see anything. And I'm like, I'm imagining this. I must be imagining this. And then all of a sudden it moved again. And I went, what in the, so I go up and I'm, dude, to say that I was literally, I thought I was going to die. I didn't know what it was. And I scoot up and I lean my phone over. This trash can's about one of those little 2-foot trash cans. And I look over and these little ears pop up and these eyes, and there's a mouse that was in our trash can. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And I grab this, the trash bag, and I tie it up and I just throw it out front and I get a new trash bag and go to bed. It must've been there. It was an empty trash can. So, but we were in the woods and everything we're seeing is bears. Keep all your food away. There's bears. Don't let, you know, they have these trash cans that you throw your trash in that the bears can't get in.
Right.
And I mean, you talk about, but man, it was one of the funnest things we ever did. We went on the top of a ski resort and rode mountain bikes down.
That's cool.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And so this year we're going next week with COVID. You can't really do a lot, but we're going to head out next. So this weekend's our anniversary. I told you we're going to go stay at a cabin for our anniversary and do that. And I want to hear about what y'all are going to do this summer. But next week, we're heading up to Illinois. They're not going to have the fireworks and the carnival this year because of COVID. But my father-in-law is 76 years old. We need to see him every year and try to see him. And we're going to get up there and see Grandma and Grandpa and do that. And that'll be our little trip this year. But New York City and West Virginia, two of the funnest places we've ever been.
Yeah. I had a great time in New York City. I did New Year's Eve up there in 2011, and it was amazing. I loved it. I will tell you that Gina Young and Julie Keel Henderson and Heath Criswell and several people chimed in and said the name of that ride is the Cliffhanger.
That's it, the Cliffhanger.
Yeah, they cleaned me up and let me know that was the Cliffhanger.
Well, so I'll tell you who Heath, did you say Heath Criswell? Yeah. So Heath is a rider that does minor league. He's got a Prospect Times minor league thing. Great dude. Really good guy. Met him. He is the first guy that came up to me after I started this and we were going to a minor league deal up there, and he recognized me. And I knew him, but I didn't know what his face looked like because his little logo thing he had didn't have his face. Mine had me on it. And he goes, "Recliner nerd?" And I went, "Oh, my God, someone knows who I am?"
Give me a sign.
I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hey, it's me, Heath Criswell." And I went, "Oh, Heath. Oh, yeah. So you're not in, you're in the same boat I am. So it's not like somebody, like the little people recognize me."
That's like getting recognized by the girl at McDonald's.
Yeah, you were here last week, remember? You ordered it.
Big Mac.
You want me to sign your cup?
That's it.
He's a great man. We would go to the minor league games. We both had credentials, and we'd get together. Every time we were there together, we'd have a good time talking. And
the shitty rider.
Do what?
Is this the guy you said was a shitty rider?
Shut up. He's going to try to start crap. That's just the way he is. So, but he's a good guy, and I'm glad he's listening to this. You what?
I said, Heath, I love Jesus, and I just want to help you with the truth. So, John, you're writing. I, however, am a big fan. Big fan. All that stuff you do about the football ranger people or whatever it is writing about. I mean,
we've got more knowledge of baseball than this guy could ever. He can't dream of baseball. He is so unknowledgeable on baseball. But he's the only one I know that hit a grand slam home run in an all-star game and hit a hole in one with me twice. And I could kill him at golf
and called it.
And Woody. Oh my God.
I called that hole in one. Actually, I didn't call the hole in one, but I called that we were going to beat them, and the hole in one is what did it.
Oh, no. You're talking about the one where you made it from the middle of the fairway.
Yep.
That wasn't a hole in one.
No. We made a hole in one. I think it might have been the week we came back.
So we yeah, got to tell this a summer story, too.
No, we were 18, 19, had no money.
No. We were older. We were 20, 21. Do what?
This was a summertime story.
It's a summertime. So you got to understand, when I had a job, Jason didn't. And I would say, let's go play golf. and he would go, I can't afford it. And I would go, I'll pay. Remember that?
Yep.
The times I he'd go, okay. Well, of course he'd go then. So we went to play. We were old enough to drink. That's why I know that we weren't 18 or 19. So we go play golf in Red Oak. So we go, and I kill Jay at golf. He's hit hole-in-ones in front of me and everything, but I can beat him in golf like he's my kid. I can beat him. And so we go through the front nine and get a beer I buy at halftime at our before we start the back. And we team up with these two guys, and they join us for the back now.
Guys.
Huh?
Like, they're in their late 50s and 60s. Like, they're our age now.
Right, yeah. And we're playing, and they're good. They're good golfers. We're just foursome. We get to the very last hole, and they said, hey, y'all want to put a little something on this hole? And we're like, what are you talking about? And Jay goes, yeah, what are you thinking? And I'm going, no.
Wait, we've been doing this the whole round? Because I seem to remember chipping in off the green.
No. We did it for the last hole. And they said, let's play a little scramble for this last hole. And the loser has to buy the other guy's beer. Jason goes, yeah, let's do it. And I'm over there airballing him going, you don't have any freaking money. So what do? We go, all right, so it's going to be best ball. If you don't know what a scramble is, you take the best shot and you use your partner's best shot. That's how you do it. Jason gets up and hits one. We're in Red Oak, and he hits one to Cedar Hill. It goes all the way off. Somewhere. I mean, we couldn't have found that thing with hunting dogs. If it was had a bacon wrapped around it and sent a hunting dog after it, they'd have never found it. So I belly one, and it rolls down the left cart path and goes about 100 yards, and both of them put theirs right in the middle of the fairway. So there were one shot in. Jay and I are 280 yards out. They're about 130 yards out. So we both go up to try to hit this second shot. Jason once again decides Cedar Hill is where he wants to be. So he puts one all the way out into Cedar Hill. And I'm mad, which doesn't help my golf game. So I blade one, and it doesn't even go straight. It just trickles to the right out into the middle of the fairway, and we're still 180 yards out. So we're line two, and we're 20 yards behind these guys who are still waiting to take their shot. So, I mean, you can laugh all you want, Jay. So, they go up.
You get to the end, everybody else will laugh too. So
Jay goes, hey, don't worry about it. I got this. And I'm going, fuck you. I mean, I'm mad. So, this one guy, one of their guys chili dips it. The other guy puts it on the green. He puts it on the back of the green. So, they're laying two on the back of the green. And Jay walks up and looks at me and goes, dude, I got this. And he goes up and goes, whack. And that ball went up. It looked like PGA. It just goes up. It hits. It checks and goes in the hole from about 170 yards out. And both of those guys were like, what the fuck? They still had a chance to tie us. I mean, they only had to make this putt, and they tie us. They didn't even get within 7 feet. They were so pissed off.
Hit water if I fell out of a fucking boat, and I dropped it at 170. and he's not like fucking Babe Ruth.
Yeah, he looks at me and he goes, dude, don't worry, I got this. And I'm like cussing him, going, no, you don't. And he puts it in. You know what? I was as mad as they were. I was like,
25 years of lessons. Went in from 170 and called it. Nothing but net.
Nothing but net. Well, listen, I think we need to wind this thing down.
All right, I'm in.
It's been summertime. It's been a fun time, guys. Summertime's here. We really want you guys to go out and have a good time. We want to give you a shout-out here. I hope you've enjoyed some of these. These are some funny things that we did, and we decided to do this because we wanted you guys to have some fun this summer. Even if there is some stuff shut down, get with your families and do stuff. Jay, you wanted to elaborate.
On what?
Tell the people something, man.
I don't even like my family that much. I mean, we're hunkered down like everybody else. We're gonna We're going to Cancun at the end of the summer. We're going to spend 4 or 5 days at the all-inclusive Cancun resort, which we've been to. This will be our second year. So we're looking forward to that. But outside of that, we're helping Morgan move into her house. And my daughter's buying a house. My son and his girlfriend just moved out. Connor, who is Jill's son, is going to college at the end of the summer. So we are literally, we're in the sweet spot of being empty nesters. So this is going to be an amazing year for us.
I am so jealous. I love my kids, but they all live with me now, including a 6'4" one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and look, we love having them there. It's been so much fun being here, but I'm not going to lie. I'm also looking at the day when they're all, I mean, Kevin's an eighth grader, so I've got 5 years and I'm going to send them away.
Let me tell you a funny story. You'll love this. So Jake, who is my son, and those of you who have had the pleasure of meeting him, he's an amazing kid. But he lived with me for the last 4 years, and his girlfriend, who they started dating, and her name is Ashley, and she's a wonderful person. Best thing that's ever happened to him. So they live with us. She was going to college. And as the coronavirus thing started coming about, some things happened and she wasn't going to be able to stay at college. So she moved in with us. And so they've been living here with us. Well, about 2 weeks ago, they got their own place and they were getting ready to move out. And so Jake and I are standing in the kitchen one morning, we're drinking coffee. And I said, hey, because I'm big on moments, like life moves really fast. But I've always tried to, and John and I do this with one another now. We always try to
spoon.
We spoon, yes, but stop the world for 30 seconds and appreciate that moment in time, whatever it is. And so Jake and I are drinking coffee, and I said, "Hey, I said, listen, I want to talk for a second. I don't want you to say anything." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "I want you to think back to where you were 4 years ago when you moved in here. You were confused. You didn't want to go to college. You didn't know what you want to do. You didn't know who you were going to be or what your life was going to turn out to be like." And I said, "Look at you now. You have gone from this scared kid to now you have this wonderful girlfriend. My son is about to graduate fire academy. He's already a certified EMT. He's working as an EMT right now. He's within 1 month of fire school. He'd be graduated by now if it wasn't for COVID. And he'd be working for Tampa Fire and Rescue." I said, I want you to realize where you were and where you are now. And I said, I want you to really appreciate this moment because it's these moments that are going to really stand out in your life. And he said, I get that, Dad. And I said, so how do you feel about that? You know, what really made that turn? And he said, well, you called me in your office and you made me sit down and you said, you got 6 months to figure it out or get out. He goes, so I figured it out. But this has been an amazing summer because all of our kids are growing up and they're doing an amazing thing. Like they're taking on their own lives, and it's exciting and it's gut-wrenching and it's sad all at the same time. And I don't know, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to us right now that are in that same boat. You know, their kids are growing and moving on. I know Kitty Mayo, and you know, she's got kids and God bless her, that are serving in the military and stuff like that. And I'm in total respect to that. But I think there's a lot of us that listen right now that our kids are moving on. They're becoming, they are who we, this whole fucking podcast was designed around us reliving those moments with one another. And now our kids are in those moments and they're moving on. And it's just amazing to watch. And it's just, it's been so much fun for me. It's been a really good summer.
Yeah, it has. It's been a lot of fun and watching your kids grow. Mine are getting up there now. You know, Kat has got promoted and all of that. She's doing real well. We're just happy as can be, I'm glad for Jake. Jake is just the sweetest kid. Connor is. We met Connor for the first time the last summer we were there because we had met Jill. We hadn't met Connor, and Connor's now living with y'all. And that's a funny kid. I like that kid. And he has got it together. And I just thought he was the neatest kid when I met him. Kathy came away from that too, talking about, man, he is a neat kid. And I'm like, yeah, he is. And I'm so happy for Jake. They call me Uncle Ace. Yeah. So, and what do my kids call you?
Cabbage.
Cabbage. That cabbage, they have called, I've got a 22-year-old daughter that calls him Cabbage.
Yeah.
And it all comes from him. I don't remember what you did to him.
Well, it was at your wedding, to Kathy, and,
Allie was four.
What's that?
Five. Allie was five.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time. But you know, she was already born. I mean, I don't think that's any secret.
No. Yeah.
That's information, but so Allie was there. Well, as you and Kat were doing your rehearsal, Allie sat with me, and first time I'd met her, she was 2, maybe 3 years old.
She was five.
Okay, 4 or 5 years old. So she's sitting next to me, and I'm trying to keep her occupied. And when I grew up, my parents and my grandfather and my uncle and stuff like that, they would say this. Do you know how a cow eats cabbage? And I'd go, no. And they would take their hand like this and they put it on your knee and then grab your knee and it would just tickle and you'd go back and forth. And so I did that to Allie for, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever while you and Kat practiced your vows so you could have a few moments alone. Well, on the day of the wedding, Allie is the ring bearer.
No, she's a flower girl.
The flower girl, but she's up there with the wedding party. And as the wedding's going on, she turns around and she goes, cabbage, cabbage. I look at her and she goes, because she lost her mind every time I grabbed her knee. And so I've been Uncle Cabbage ever since.
And she got the boys calling you that. They never had to experience the horse bite, but they all call you Cabbage. Yep. So that's what we've been. And now our kids are going to be grown up and we'll be able to do more fun stuff. It's easier to travel without the children.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'll say this is that, you know, John and I have known each other since we were, you know, we're brothers without blood test. And, you know, we've known each other since birth and, you know, we laugh a little bit about that, but it's been an amazing ride. But I would encourage all of you that are close, if you are close with that person and they have kids, get involved in those kids' life. Even if it's just secondary and superficial where you send birthday cards and phone calls and show up for a couple of events, because you will become the stories that we are telling now. And those are moments that you just can't replace. And so if you want to instill the virtues of your childhood in those kids, then get involved and become a part of that story. Because that's how my aunts and uncles did it. And it took me until I was in my 50s to realize that. I'm like, why were all these people around and saying all this stupid shit? It's for this. It's for this moment right now. And yep. It created who you were. And so I for one, and I'll say this in front of everybody, and I say it to John all the time, I am honored and I am so pleased to be a part of his life and his family's life, just like he and I were involved in our parents' lives.
Yeah, and it was important. I my kids know, they know, you've got Ben and you've got good buddies that live there in your neighborhood. And I've got great friends that I spend way more time with, my hunting buddies that live here and do all of that. But when my family asks, who's your best friend? I'm like, my best friend lives in Florida. That's my guy that I had. And so, you know, and a lot of people don't keep up with their best friend, the one that was their friend in high school. You don't keep up as much. And you hate it. You go different ways. You and I always did. We always kept in touch no matter where we were. So, guys, we're going to wind this thing down. This has been summertime. It's been a blast. It's fun to talk about it. We're going to try to get another one of these out probably by the end of next. Well, you know what? We'll see. Hopefully, if we don't get one done by next weekend, I might be doing one from Illinois. I don't know. And it may be a little – I won't have all my stuff there. But we'll
Cancun.
Yeah. Are you going – you'll be in Cancun. So, we'll see what we're going to do and try to get one out. So – for all of those that have listened, I can't thank you enough. We appreciate you so much for doing it. Jay, put them up and tell them what you're doing.
Boom. Deuces, baby. Join me on The World According to Me. Love you guys.
All right. We'll see you guys. Have a good one.
Thanks again for listening to Two Farts in a Can. And once again, we'd like to remind you that if you've listened this far, it's over. Turn it off. It's time to go to bed. Peace.